93.
Authorize 20 subrecipient contracts totaling $16,777,246 for services in support of ending homelessness and providing affordable housing.
Commissioner Salzman.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. This will provide over $16 million of a broad continuum of assistance and services for low-income homeowners, renters, homeless individuals and families, and those at risk at homelessness. This master ordinance creates efficiencies for staff and council by consolidating the multiple contract ordinances into a single ordinance for council. The strategy has been employed successfully by the Bureau for the past several years. Urge adoption.
Questions?
I just want to, oh, just a comment, Mayor.
Sure.
I know we're not going to vote on this till next week, but the Exhibit A that's attached is an honor roll of mission-driven nonprofits that are core partners of the city in advancing our goals towards reducing and ultimately ending homelessness. And we are talking about a mix of funds, including general fund, federal funds, and then funds that are competitive funds. And if anyone wants to sort of see the roadmap of how this community, on an annual basis, attempts to tackle this enormous challenge of homelessness, Exhibit A is about as good a document as I've seen that lays out all of our great partners who are working on the front lines of making a difference.
Questions?
Thanks, Mayor. I greatly appreciate the consolidated approach. How does a nonprofit apply to have some of this funding? If next year, when we get to this point, there's another omnibus ordinance, how would a new nonprofit apply to become a partner with the Housing Bureau?
I believe it's all competitive, but I can double-check on that and get back to you. That we put out a solicitation.
Yeah, if you would, the one that's missing here for me is Right to Dream 2, and I know that they're going to be entering to provide a different kind of service from some of the others, but you've also got some terrific partnerships, for instance, with the Community Alliance of Tenants. They're not direct providers of, so, yeah, I'd appreciate knowing the process.
Okay, I'll check and get back to you.
Anyone want to speak on this item?
Yes, we have one person signed up, Barry Joe Stoll.
Come on up, Mr. Stoll. Good afternoon.
Thanks. I'll share with you what I shared with the County Board of Commissioners earlier today. I'm wearing my hat because I have a neuropathic pain condition, and light is kind of toxic at points, so it's just annoying. So the reason I took it out is because I respect you. I took it off, rather. I could very well be the poster child of the City of Portland for a lot of things that are wrong. And I'm going to talk about how, as a person with a disability, it's a spinal cord injury. That's like saying that flaming heap at the bottom of the cliff is a car that had a brake problem. I came home from work and was locked out of my apartment. My landlord destroyed $20,000 worth of my property in 2006. You've all heard this, and I know you've all done absolutely nothing about it. So I don't think we need to have any more discussion. I went through a horrible, horrible experience that was actually criminal, and I can tell you right now that the reason I survived, because I'm highly educated, I'm in the top 5% in IQ tests, the way we give them in this society, which doesn't measure my musical talent that I have. And I come from a working-class background and people that work really hard. My grandfather survived a coal mining accident, and he still ended a 50-year career as a coal miner while he had all of his other jobs. So what I'm saying is, down the street, Mr. Bradley working for Mr. Shrunk, the deputy district attorney, or the district attorney at the time, Mr. Bradley said that they do not enforce perjury in landlord-tenant actions. And I happened to be in a lawyer's office when one lawyer said to the other, I can't believe the landlords can get away with saying anything, and the court accepts it, and if the tenant does one thing, it's a hint of some kind of impropriety, the way they serve the document, the court finds with the landlord. Okay, so the problem we have here isn't a housing problem. It's a social justice problem. And I went through transition projects. They approved my housing plan. They kicked me out. I tested positive for THC. It was actually Marinol, or dronabinol. It's a federal-approved drug that my neurologist gave me. And then they said my housing plan didn't work anymore. And I filed a grievance, and that grievance was never processed. And one of the persons that got a copy of that was Doreen Binder, who we named the men's shelter in the Bud Clark Commons after. So I'm going to tell you all right now, I do know about how heat rises and cold sinks because it's a function of gravity. And I do know how people become perpetually chronically homeless in this city. I'm one of them. I'm housed with a HUD grant as a person with a disability that meets the definition of chronically homeless. I'm telling you, I became chronically homeless and endured chronic homelessness in this city because the nonprofit affordable housing landlord, no doubt, has 4066 Northeast Grand vacant right now. He's still partnering with them. You're still partnering with them. Okay? Why are we keeping affordable housing vacant and awarding these types of things? We have to look upstream and see who's throwing the people in the river and not just deal with an angry person like myself that comes out wet.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I'm available, Mayor. I would like you to consult with me on this. I want this to be a two-way street and not me endlessly saying the same thing. Take action. You need answers. I have quite a few. You should start asking me some questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Anyone else want to speak on this item? If not, then it's a non-emergency ordinance. It comes back on second reading next week.